You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would just continue this journey that you began in worship. God, open our eyes to your word to see some things that we haven't seen before. God, even if we've looked at your scripture a bunch of times, Father, there's something in the presence of the Lord that you can show us, God, that will just open up our hearts, open up our spirits, and let us run, Father, with the vision that you have for us in this season and in this moment. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I'm so delighted to see everybody here today, and I know God is doing some great, great things. We started this series on moving mountains, and we talked about mountain-moving faith. We talked about faith that will quiet the storms. We talked about faith being worked by love, that love is the thing that opens up the door for faith. And that was an awesome sermon last week by Prophet Deborah. But I thought it was apropos since we're talking about faith, and since it's October, Jesus said that when you have faith, you will have the power to cast out demons. So if you don't mind, we'll talk a little about the authority over demons. When you got faith, you will have the authority over demons. That's right. What's been holding you back in your life? Stuff that's been harassing you? God wants to break that stuff off of your life. And we don't have to get hyper spooky today. We're just going to be hyper focused on Jesus. Amen. Because the greatest name is Jesus. So let's go to Mark 16:15, and let me just open this up for you today. This is something that's kind of been exploding in my spirit. And when I first started thinking about mountain moving faith, I started about thinking about the things that Jesus talked about when he talked about faith. He talked about the faith to move mountains. He talked about the faith to quiet the storms. His life was an example for that. He talked about the faith to heal the sick. And he talked about the faith to cast out demons. So I want to look at that. It says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Raise your hand if this applies to you. All right, this is me, this is you, this is everybody in the room. So he said to his believers, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who has believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. So right off top, in this particular story, in this particular teaching that Jesus was giving, he comes straight out and he says, first off, I'm going to give you the authority, if you believe, to cast out demons. He goes on to say other things. You'll speak in new tongues. You'll be able, serpents won't harm you. Deadly poison won't hurt you. You'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But the part that I want to focus on is what Jesus says right up top. He said, if you believe, you'll be saved and you'll have the power to cast out demons. And I just think this is an appropriate sermon for October. Amen. Amen. Because they're just putting this stuff all over the TV screen. You go to try to watch a comedy movie, they show you a horror preview. I can't stand that stuff. I came to laugh. Came to enjoy myself. The first thing that we have to understand about the demonic realm is the devil is a bully. And if you're not aware of this that goes on, the devil is an intimidator. He will try to intimidate you out of your purpose, intimidate you out of your faith, intimidate you out of your promise, intimidate you out of your confidence. He will try to intimidate you. He will try to take you back to those elementary school days when you were on the playground or in the classroom and there was somebody in the room that was trying to make you do stuff you did not want to do. Or do stuff that you, or keep you from doing stuff you wanted to do. The devil is a bully. He operates by fear. And so he wants to enter the playground of your life. and mess stuff up, push you around, tell you what to do, make you feel like you have no other option. That is what the devil's prerogative is. The scripture says he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And if you'll allow me to belittle the devil a little bit, that's what happens. In the playground of your life, he's that bully that's seeking who he might mess with, who he might cause and harass and cause a problem for, and touch your body and touch your finances. He goes around like a lion. He's not the lion, but he goes around like a lion. And so if he can get you scared, he can keep you from your purpose. If he can get you intimidated, you'll never accomplish your dreams, your destiny. You'll never seize that great opportunity. Come on, business people. Come on, business women, business men. You'll never seize that great opportunity that God dropped in your lap if you're intimidated by the enemy. Okay? We're talking about the way the enemy operates. We're talking about spirit play, right? In the last few years, I've been so puzzled by Halloween and our culture, how much our culture has just gravitated towards this. And it seemed like it didn't used to be so embraced by our culture, and even it's gotten darker. It's gotten, not to say that it was ever happy, you know, holiday. But it's gotten more grotesque. It's gotten more ugly, right? And so, it's interesting to me how it's almost become as big as Christmas. Almost like it's done a competition with Christmas. Allow me to go down here a little bit. You got one holiday that is about fear, celebrating fear, and you got another holiday that's celebrating faith. One holiday that's about Jesus and about giving, and another holiday that's about witches and death and things that are ugly, things that are demonic, right? I believe that there is a battle over our culture. You can see this struggle between these two things. It's like the spirit of the age growing and this negative thing creeping up in our culture, because there's spirits at work. But don't worry, I actually have a point. I'm not just bashing Halloween. I actually have a sermon today. There's a struggle between the way that you will live your life. Listen to me. If it's going to be a life of fear, running away from things, avoiding opportunities, or it's going to be a life of faith, a life that the Spirit gives you an inclination and you have the boldness to jump out there and do a thing. A life of fear or faith. The scripture says that the just will live by faith. Those that are in right standing with God are going to live by, they're going to walk by, they're going to operate by faith. Fear and faith, listen to this. Fear and faith cannot operate at the same time. You can't. You can't. Either at the moment you're operating in fear, or at the moment you're operating in faith. But you can't simultaneously operate with those two things. It just doesn't work like that. Either you have to knowingly or unknowingly choose one or the other. You have the authority to cast out demons, to break certain strongholds in your life, but you have to be operating in faith. You have to make sure that you're exercising your faith. If your life is riddled with worries, with stresses, with concerns, with fears, you will lack the spiritual authority to command spiritual oppression to leave your life. Can I say it again? It's the little foxes, it's the little things, it's the little doors, the little crack in the window that the enemy slips in. It's the little stresses, the little concerns, that we focus on that actually we're operating in the zone of fear and we do not have at that moment the ability to walk in the promise that Jesus gave us, that is the authority to cast out spirits, to break spiritual oppression, to break spiritual things that are going on in your finances, to break spiritual things that are going on in your family. That's why it's so important to operate by faith, to have a life of faith, to find yourself when you wake up in the morning, your normal mode of operation is faith. It's not worry. I'm not waking up to a worry. I'm not waking up to being concerned, but I'm waking up saying, I believe that God has something for me today. I believe God has an answer for me today. I believe that God has a solution for this problem that the enemy's trying to intimidate me with. I believe. I wake up believing and I have faith and I'm functioning in faith instead of fear. And so I don't want to be looking at things that are going to open doors to fear. That's why I don't really mess much with horror movies, because I'm not about opening up doors to invite fear into my life. I got too many things to do. I got too many things to accomplish in my life. I can't be taking a break from faith to operate a little bit in fear to then try to get my faith back so that I can be more than a conqueror. I don't know about you, but I don't want to take a break from being a conqueror. And so we have to watch what we put into our system. The life of a believer should be daily opening up doors for faith to enter their life. Follow me now. Opening up the Word of God daily, or listening to a sermon, or listening to worship music, or reading a book about the principles of God. You're putting the things in your spirit, you're putting the things in your mind that will give you the authority to cast out spirits, to break spiritual oppression that's going on in your life, in your family. Amen? Are you putting enough faith into your system? It's a simple question. It's a legitimate question to ask. And if you haven't asked it, you need to audit your life. From time to time, always audit your life. Am I putting enough faith in? Because if you don't have enough faith, there will be no authority in your voice. Listen to me, church. You can't put a bunch of garbage, a bunch of potato chips into your system, and then when it comes down to game time, you think you're going to pull faith out of the air. No. You got to get it in so that when you need it, you can function with it. The scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we fill ourselves up, did you see how the atmosphere of the room elevated? Because I just put some faith inside of you right now. How much faith are you putting inside of you? I hope enough if you want to move mountains. I hope enough if you believe that there's some spirits that are trying to come against your family and come against your blessing and come against your finances and come against your promotion. You better have the faith that you have the authority to speak to those spirits and they will leave your life. Come on, follow me, somebody. Be aware of what you're feeding yourself. Fear. Or faith. Come on, this is an elementary, fundamental truth of the universe, fear or faith? Fear or faith? And it is a struggle that is deeply embedded in our culture. A true believer must know their identity. Look at somebody today and say, who are you? Look at somebody else and say, who are you? What is your identity? Y'all like that too much, huh? What is your identity? Are you a child of God? Are you a seed of Abraham? Are you a righteousness of Christ? Are you the heir of God's promise? Are you the one that God commanded, go and cast the spirits out? I believe you are. And I know I am. You operate differently when you know your identity. You walk differently when you know your identity. Hey, Patrick came back from boot camp, from his training, and there's a new component to his identity. And he walks a different way. As a Marine, he holds his head a different way because there's a different component now to his identity. When we realize who we are in God, we walk with a different authority. Once you settle your identity, you will stand in authority. Once you settle your identity, you will stand in authority. Here's the problem. Many people live their life in fear because they don't know who they are. That's why they're getting up every day and the devil is beating the hell out of them. Because they don't know who they are. That only comes from being in the presence. The more that you stand in the presence of the Father, He tells you who you are. And you can walk out of His presence in authority and in confidence. Because you know greater is in you than he that is in the world. You know that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You are seated with Him in heavenly places. And right now at this moment, Jesus is standing next to the Father, interceding that you're going to win. My goodness. Once you settle your identity, you will stand in authority. Many can be taken advantage of by the demonic world because they don't know who they are. Even Christians. Many Christians' lives are in a mess because they fully don't comprehend their identity in Christ. If you are growing in the image of Christ, shouldn't demons tremble at you? When you walk into the room, if you're growing in the image of Christ, shouldn't demons want to get out of the room? I'm talking to you about your identity. I'm talking to you today about your identity. When you walk in as the heir of God's promise, when you walk in as the baby brother, baby sister of Jesus, hallelujah. Spirits, get out of the way. Because the demonic realm operates best in ignorance. Look at somebody and say, don't be ignorant. The devil wants you to live a life in ignorance to your identity, to your promise, to your authority. Because when you're living in ignorance, you'll never walk in your purpose. You'll never walk in the authority that God freely gave you through Jesus. And there's things out there. There's things out there. There's a spirit world. There's demonic activity. There's things going on. There's things the enemy's trying every day. Devil doesn't have a mortal body. He doesn't need to sleep. He's up all night thinking, up all night doing, trying to enter your house, trying to get his hands on your stuff, trying to block you from your promise. You better be feeding yourself faith. The Apostle Paul said, put on the full armor of God so that you can withstand the attack of the enemy, right? You better get the sword of the Spirit, right? You better have the breastplate of righteousness. You better have the helmet of salvation. You better have the shoe, the truth, right? Shield of faith. You better have the whole thing. You better be prayed up. The devil's not coming at you like, it's like an amateur fight. He's coming at you every day like it's the world championship. Trying to knock you out. But the great thing is this. That the Bible says, and if we know our identity, it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That means the Holy Spirit that is already inside of you is so much greater than any spirit. Any other spirit you've ever heard of in this universe, in any other universe, greater is he that is inside of you than he that is in the world. He's in the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And if you can get synced up with the Holy Spirit, if you can get on the same page with the Holy Spirit, if you can get to doing what the Holy Spirit's doing, it's important that we understand this because Scripture says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with spirits, right? With wickedness in high places. The truth is the battle is not against your neighbor. The battle is not against your boss. The battle is not against that family member that's on your last nerve. The Bible gives us some key insights. The Bible says, you're not battling with people, really. You're battling with the spirits that are motivating the people to do what they do. That are encouraging, enticing, provoking, planting negative thoughts in the minds of men and women. So that's what the Scripture says. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we wrestle with spirits and wickedness in high places. The true battle is against the devil and the demonic realm. And let me tell you why your relationship with Jesus is so important. Because I want to make sure I make you aware of these things, but at the same time, the focus is always Jesus. Focus is never demons or trying to cast out demons or this, that. It's the focus is Jesus. When you're walking with Jesus, you just speak the word. It's not a, doesn't have to be a 35, 45 minute, bring out the buckets and people, no. Jesus didn't have to do that. Jesus didn't model that. I don't know if you read the stories recently, but Jesus didn't do all that. Jesus said, go. This is why your relationship with Jesus is so important. Your authority is proportionate to your relationship with Christ. Your authority is proportionate to your relationship with Christ. In Acts 19, in the early church, there were seven young men. They were running around town. They had this upstart deliverance ministry that they were doing. They were kind of, you know, going and praying and spirits were coming out, and the problem was they were using the name of Jesus, but they didn't have relationship with Jesus. That's a problem. These seven young men were called the sons of Sceva, and Sceva was one of the priests, And so these brothers, they had this deliverance ministry. They're kind of feeling good about themselves until they showed up at Ephesus. I'm not making this stuff up. You can look it up in Acts 19 when you get home. They get to Ephesus and they try to pray over this man. I don't know. They might have come in. He might have been doing the exorcist thing. Maybe his head was spinning around or something. I don't know. They try to start up the deliverance thing. And the scripture says that spirit jumped on them and beat them naked, and they ran out of there naked and wounded. They got beat up and naked, running out of there scared. Your authority is in proportion to your relationship with Christ. Let me tell you something. If you are in true relationship with Christ, there is absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Nothing in this world, nothing outside of this world can touch you. If you're walking in relationship with God, you know, when the Spirit said to the seven young men, he said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I recognize. But I don't know you. I don't know you. It's important that we have a relationship that is strong. You know, when you have a strong relationship, it's not the type of person that you occasionally call upon. I think that's where we get into trouble sometimes is when we have an occasional relationship or we're not consistent with having this and developing this relationship with Jesus. Because you're going to have everything that you need to succeed in life if you have a strong relationship with Jesus. So when we look at Jesus, this is so great. Jesus moved in authority effortlessly because he had such a relationship with the Father. He moved in authority effortlessly because he had relationship with the Father. And as we grow as believers in relationship and fellowship with Jesus, we will have more and more authority to do what Jesus did. Amen? Jesus wants us to do what he did. Amen? She said, you'll do this and I'm going to give you the ability to do even greater things than you saw me do. And so as we grow in relationship and grow in fellowship with him, he gives us the authority to do all of these things. How many want to know him more? It's not always the easiest thing. I know there were some things that in my life for years, God was, you know, challenging me, calling me to develop a greater, a stronger relationship with him. And I wasn't like doing something crazy. I was a youth pastor at the time. But he was calling me to a greater relationship with him. And I just, for whatever reason, wasn't ready to step up to that level of relationship, right? I knew it was there. I knew that, yeah, we're going to do that. I look forward to that time. But for whatever reason, I didn't step into that portion of our relationship, this challenge to have a greater relationship. If I can set forth a challenge, or maybe the Holy Spirit is challenging you today. And I want to have greater relationship with you. I want to have greater relationship to when you walk in the room, they can feel the presence of Christ on you. Demons flee. Doors open. Mountains move. Opportunities happen. Because there's something on you. Presence, the relationship of Christ. Can I have some of the band come up with me? And when we know him, we will be able to speak to the mountains and they will move. To know him is to speak and to quiet the storms. To speak and demons flee. We have to be careful because there's so much just embedded in our culture that opens the doors for negative spiritual things to enter into our lives. It's become commonplace. Astrological signs are available in the grocery store. Palm readers are popping up everywhere. Horoscopes, fortune tellers. Oftentimes, I've seen even believers open the door to demonic stuff to come into their lives. Sometimes, spirits can enter our lives through traumatic situations. Maybe it's an accident. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's rejection or a death in the family. Something traumatic. Sometimes the enemy just uses when you're down to kick you. Try to get into your life. Sometimes spirits can come into our life through these traumas, but Jesus commanded his disciples this. He said, watch and pray. And I would encourage you in the same way today. As believers, we need to be aware of what the enemy is doing in our lives. Don't just pray, but pray with awareness. Pray with understanding. Pray with insight. Watch and pray. There are spirits that are trying to attach themselves to your life. While you're sleeping, they're thinking of how they can try to have an entry point. Spirits that would try to interweave themselves into the workings of your life. Spirits that would try to harass or hold you back from your purpose. Or sabotage your family. Or cause fear or stress. Or make you feel lonely or helpless or hopeless. All kinds of spirits with all kinds of different agendas or assignments. Would you stand with me today? Jesus gives us the authority to break every spirit that has come against your family, has come against your business, that has come against your health. Jesus gives us the authority over demons. You know, it's amazing. I think oftentimes we'll make up a new condition for something that's actually spiritual. We'll say, well, this person has this or this person has that. A lot of times it's the spirit. Spirit's messing with your life. I want us to declare some things today. Will you do that with me? Will you take authority with me? I just want to evict some spirits that are trying to mess with the people of God. Amen. 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 Let's do this together. First area that I just want to say is health. Will you say this with me? Listen, if you don't got any health problems, it's fine. This ain't going to hurt you to cast spirits off of your health. Say, right now, I take authority over my physical body and I cast out any spirit of infirmity right now in the name of Jesus. Go. Some of you already felt something stirring in your physical body because the devil doesn't have a right to a child of God. He has no right. He has no right to your body. As soon as you begin to stand up to him, he's got to back down. He's got to leave. We're serving the devil eviction notice today. Some of you have been stressed. You've been concerned. You've been overwhelmed by stuff that's going on in your life. That the devil has robbed you of your peace. Just say with me, right now, I rebuke any spirits that would cause stress, anxiety, intimidation, fear. I cast you out of my life now. In the name of Jesus, go. Hallelujah. Some of you need to receive that today because you've been so worried. You tell that thing to go. Go in the name of Jesus. I just speak the peace of God on you today. At the peace of God, that you would fix your eyes on God, the author and the finisher of your faith. I want to pray over your family, because let me tell you, this is one of the enemy's favorite things to do, is to mess with your family. He loves that stuff. Send all kind of demons and spirits to try to mess with your family. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over any spirit that's trying to mess with my family, break up my family, cause problems in my family. I bind you up and I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Go! Hallelujah! We have to fight for our family. Every day. Every day. I want to speak over your job and or your business today. I believe that God gave us a word that this is going to be a house of Josephs. And I'm standing on that word because I know that God gave that word. This is a house of Josephs. And there are several people that the enemy is trying to block. I'm telling you this prophetically. The enemy is trying to block your business. The enemy is trying to block your promotion. In the name of Jesus, I bind any spirit that would try to block or limit my business or my job right now. In the name of Jesus, go, go, go. You have no place in my finances. You have no place in my business. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, give God the praise. You know, when we deal with the devil, you got to be tenacious. Because if you just come casually at the devil, he's gonna beat you up. The Bible says that the kingdom of God works by violent people. By violent people coming and taking what they need. That's what Jesus says. That the violent people come and they take it. Let me tell you something. If you want to fulfill the Genesis command to take dominion, does that sound like something that's passive? Oh, you got to be violent to take. You know, that actually, when God gave the children of Israel, God gave the children of Israel the promised land, they had to go in there and violently fight some people, because even though God had given it, there were some spirits and some people that were motivated by spirits. I'm serious. There were people that were offering up their children to the fire, and God said, kick those people out. This is the land. I give you the land. Aggressively taking what we need. This is the last area. Last area. Your calling, your destiny. Your calling and your destiny. In the name of Jesus, I bind up any spirits that have come against my destiny, that have come against my God-given calling, And I evict you from my life right now in the name of Jesus. Go. 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 Let's give God the praise. Hallelujah. I can't pray for everything today. But I hope that you can take something with you from the Word of God and begin a journey in your life of watching and praying, of the Holy Spirit bringing to your attention, this is an area the enemy's attacking you right now. Bind that up and rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. Many times in prayer throughout the week, God will bring something to my attention. It might be something in my life. It might be something in my family. It might be something in the church. It might be something in our city that God wants me to rebuke. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you might not have even done anything wrong, and the spirits are trying to harass you. Spirits are trying to get in there in your life. And you just need to take authority and say, get out. Get out. In the name of Jesus, get out. And you know what? God has given you the authority. Amen. Turn to about five people, say, God has given me the authority. I'm walking out of here with authority.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.